This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
H-Town, I'm back.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Welcome in to The Drive. Clint Sterner, he's out today, but B. Scott, you know him. Brandon Scott, you catch him. What are you on every Friday within the loop? You're on with us
every every Wednesday at 4:40 on The Drive, every Friday within the loop from 11 to noon, except when I'm on The Drive with y'all.
That's right. And you catch all his work at sportsradio610.com. He's in the building. Tyler Milner, he's in the building. If you're on YouTube and Twitch, you can see T. Millie in the Billy. Nope. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What? T. Millie in the Billy.
I'll take five. I thought that was an inside joke. Did y'all?
No, I've never heard that coded language now. I'd never heard T. Millie in the Billy.
But indeed, T. Millie is in the Billy.
If you mean building, but
hey,
Billy.
This is that millennial slang biting you in the ass.
Yeah, my fault, man.
That sizzle, rizzle, izzle type of life that we used to live.
That got away. I don't know how.
No, I don't know why I didn't just. Oh, you're born in the 80s.
Finish off building.
No, and that's being born in the 80s.
I don't know that Billy got me. I'll take that. Yeah, the Billy. That got my fault. That's on me.
Damn you, Snoop Dogg.
In the Billy.
Millie in the Billy. Yeah, I apologize for that, guys. That's not Marconi.
Little Willie from Philly. I remember that from Fresh Prince.
I'll be honest with you. I'll get back with you whenever I do something Marconi award worthy. But I do want to have this discussion.
This Marconi award winning discussion.
Yeah, have this discussion, I do want to say Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlusy.com.
Sorry. I just got to lean
You're
in.
You're a fool for that.
I mean, you got to laugh at yourself.
I don't want to say that. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right. All right, whose side are you on? Pal, before even hearing the argument, said, I'm with Brandon.
Man knows wisdom.
He hasn't heard the argument. And we were talking about this the other day, B. Scott. And Tyler, you're going to be one of the first ones to let us know which side you're on. And you can text in 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Jump in. We were talking about the process of bringing in the new OC, Nick Caley. And that's coming off of DeMeco talking about relationships and his ability to communicate. All of those things is a big thing that he was looking at in a new OC to run his offense. And we were discussing, what does this mean for CJ? What type of guy were they looking for to bring in to work and be the OC. Obviously, that's connected with C.J. Stroud, the quarterback. I have a thought on what they were looking for. B. Scott has a different thought on what they were looking for. You can text in, let us know which spot and which part that you roll with. I know many of you are just going to say B. Scott anyway. That is fine. But just at least listen to the arguments. What was your thought process in what they were looking for in particular with C.J. Stroud from the OC's perspective?
I think they wanted to have somebody that both C.J. Stroud and whoever they hired felt like they could have a back and forth with C.J. Stroud. Like, I think where you and I are going to agree is that C.J. Stroud is being given some level of power, like a lot more power within the organization than he had, let's say, when he was a rookie. And that they're
I think one thing we'll agree on is C.J. was damn sure a big part of what their thinking was to in the OC.
100%, and as he should be. Like, they could be fools if that wasn't the case. So I think we agree on that, and I think that part is true. But where I'm coming from it is that, like, I think they were looking for somebody that could go toe-to-toe and back and forth with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is somebody, from my understanding, who is not afraid of back and forth, not afraid of even a little bit of confrontation, but also wants there to be a back and forth. And there just wasn't a lot of back and forth. There was not a lot of coaching. There was just like Bobby Slowick was just much more of a play caller and play designer and not much of a collaborator and just like overall kind of the way you consider a coach, somebody that kind of goes back and forth with the players. And so I think that they wanted that. Like, C.J. Stroud, make no mistake about it, is the more like important and influential figure. But I think they were looking for somebody that, and this is hard to find when you're on your second offensive coordinator with a defensive coach, but I think they were trying to find a respected voice that could go back and forth with C.J. Stroud and in some ways even like hold him accountable. Like, I think there was just a lot of, with Bobby Slowick, like it was just a lot of like, it just call the play and that's it. And then, wait, do we have answers after that? Yeah, what am I doing? What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong after? There wasn't a lot of back and forth. It was just when it was good, it was good. When it was bad, it was bad. They need somebody that, I think they needed somebody or were looking for somebody that they could kind of have more of a back and forth with and would actually coach C.J. Stroud.
So, as you said, a respected voice.
A respected voice.
That could, what did you say? You didn't say.
Challenge him.
Yeah,
hold him accountable. Hold him accountable. Also take his input. But the back and forth. Like, I think there's a yin and yang there that I think they were looking for that they just did not have previously.
You hear that, Tyler? A back and forth. All right, that's B. Scott's vision and feel of what they may have been looking for in terms of the OC with C.J. Stroud. I go a different direction. For me, I felt like they were looking for somebody who would be more likely to work with C.J. than to be somebody that's, I guess, as you say, holding him accountable or going back and forth. I think C.J. is the one that I think they wanted to bring somebody in that would empower C.J. and kind of allow C.J. to be comfortable. That's what I think it was. And I think we're in two different places right there. I think they wanted somebody who can work with C.J. and allow C.J. to have more freedoms and more input and more power in what's going on. Again, I'm not saying that that's wrong at all, but I'm just saying I think they were looking at that. I don't think they were looking for somebody that's going to hold his feet to the fire. I don't think they were looking at somebody that is going to, like, that will go in there and challenge him. I'm not saying that that didn't happen, but I think they were looking for somebody who could make C.J. feel more comfortable and they have a better relationship and they could feel more comfortable as opposed to being able, because the way you describe it, I hear like more of an aggressive
figure. I think ideally, like, that, like, you don't need that because everybody's kind of on the same page, but like when they're not, who's the one that's going to say, hey, you're doing this wrong. Hey, like, I think that this should be the answer. Who's going to kind of step up and be the leader. I know Clint talks a lot about, you know, having questions about CJ Stroud's like leadership. How far does it go? Well, I think that this is a big part of it, is like actually getting somebody that can go back and forth with him. And I think it is hard to find that person. Like, who do you think fits that role? I think it's still an open question if Nick Caley is actually that guy that they think he is. We'll find out. So far, so good. Everything looks great and everything. But I think that is something that they wanted. Like, CJ Stroud, one of the few things that I know about him is that, like, he welcomes the back and forth. Like, he's not someone who I think actually needs to be coddled. And I know this is one of the things that you hate, the fact that CJ Stroud feels like he's being coddled by, at the very least, the fan base, and maybe even sometimes by the organization. But this is not a dude that I feel like needs to be coddled. Don't let all of that crying stuff at the when somebody gets injured kind of gets you confused about who CJ Stroud is and what he actually is.
Yeah, this isn't about like, that.
But
that,
what I'm getting at is this is a tougher dude than I think he's given credit for, both like maybe even on the field, but also just like in the way that he's able to go back and forth with somebody. The fact that I think he is wanting to be held accountable. Like part of the thing of not having answers is not also not holding people accountable when things go wrong. So like they didn't have that. Hopefully they have that, not just with CJ, but with the offense as a whole. We're talking about the offensive coordinator, right? So with CJ, with the offense as a whole, I feel like they've got somebody with kind of a bigger personality. And then I know D'Amico was making the point about relationships. Maybe even somebody that's better at that. I don't know if that's as important as maybe he made it out to seem, but maybe they think it is. And if they think it is, maybe it works for them.
See, the type of coach you're describing sounds like somebody with experience. Like when you say somebody that is,
where do you find that,
respected, or unless he had a previous relationship with that person, somebody that is, like when I think of the hiring of Nick Caley, I don't think that is going to be the guy that comes in that is right as soon as he walks in the door. He is a respected voice that commands the ability in which CJ is like, yeah, that guy can walk right in and hold me accountable and do all. Like, I'm not saying Nick Caley can't do those things.
Right.
I'm just saying if that is what you were looking for, that doesn't seem that doesn't seem like that would be what he is bringing to the table right off the bat. It seems like somebody with more experience that has been a play caller at some kind of level. That is somebody where CJ Stroud sees him and is like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that guy has done this, this, and that.
But it's much harder to find that guy and hire that guy, especially when it's your second hire. So I think the likelihood of getting a guy that's just clearly and obviously that, like, to me, once you do the second offensive coordinator thing, it's a roll of the dice anyway.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not going to be, like, apparent to the naked eye that this guy is that guy. You just got to be able to discern that yourself. And we'll see if they got it right or if they got it wrong. But clearly they feel like they did with Nick Caley. I also think that this is kind of where some of the personality stuff comes in. Like, Bobby Slowick, much more of, you know, the academic type. This one is more of, you know, kind of the, I mean, y'all heard the guy talk. Like, a lot more energetic and a lot more. We talked about CJ Stroud having heard from Nick Caley maybe a little bit more than he expected to by now, because he's one of those type of personalities. I feel like everybody's probably worked for that boss that's like always on your ass, and then that boss that like you never hear from. Like the difference between the two, Nick Caley, and if you can think about those in your own life, Nick Caley strikes me as the one that, for better and or worse, is going to be on your ass.
As I said, which side are you on? B. Scott feels like the thought process and the type of OC to work with CJ Stroud is a guy that is a respected voice that will be able to hold CJ accountable and have the ability to go back and forth with CJ. My thought is somebody that works with CJ and not somebody that CJ is working for, but somebody that is working in a partnership with CJ that allows him to have much more freedom to have control of things, and somebody to me that will make CJ feel comfortable. I think that is to me, which side are you on? Someone texted in and said, Team B. Scott. Oh, yeah, B. Scott is right. Someone said, Show is right. CJ doesn't need help with accountability. From what it sounds like, no one holds CJ more accountable than CJ. Who the hell thinks the organization coddled CJ?
I just said I kind of laid it out.
I don't know that the organization.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Media. I mentioned the media more specifically.
I think he is still in a space of the good things are all damn near 100% because of him, and any adversity or troubles with the offense is all the other stuff around him. I do think we are still in that space. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying the Texans feel that way. I'm just saying from a media and fans' perspective. Yeah. I still think he is in that.
Would die for CJ. Yeah. Everyone but knows that.
I do want to be clear about this accountability thing. I think it's just as much about having answers as much as it is having your foot up somebody's tail. Like, I don't think it has to always necessarily be that. Because I agree with the texter saying, like, CJ Stroud doesn't need help with being held accountable, but he does need help being coached. And what I'm saying is CJ Stroud 100% wants to be coached. I think the offense wants to be coached. They want to have somebody that they feel like has answers. Somebody that, to Ron's point, obviously, that they can collaborate with, but more so than anything, a leader that they feel like they can feel confident is leading the offense.
I will say this, Tyler and Brandon, I know that the Texans will never say it. Like, I would not be surprised. In fact, I would almost think more it's likely that CJ wasn't in the room when they were looking at who the next OC would be. And I think there are a lot of quarterbacks that are in the room with decisions of who's going to be running the offense. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was a deal of, hey, personality traits. Do you feel comfortable with this person? I definitely think he was heavily involved in who the next person was that was going to run this office.
Yeah, I would agree with that part. And like that to me is not surprising or shocking, especially when we're talking about, like, it's not like he had any input on the first one, right? Because he's already here. But like on the second one, this is the one thing that we cannot deny. A big reason of why Bobby Slowick had to go, it wasn't just the play calling. It was because of the relationship with C.J. Stroud. I firmly believe that if C.J. Stroud wanted Bobby Slowick back, that they would have figured out a way to bring Bobby Slowick back. I'm not saying that he got him fired, but I'm saying I don't think you make the move if it's not okayed by the quarterback that you're about to pay $65 million dollars a year to. So that part is clearly a part of it. But I do think that they wanted somebody to come in here and that they, a voice that they felt like they could respect and that it would also, for lack of a better term, say it with their chest. Like they, this is the type of team that wants that.
I definitely disagree with that. I don't.
Yeah, no, I think they want that. I think they want that. They're not. I don't think they're reluctant to that. Like they need you, yes men, in here and just do what I say. It's not that type of team.
Yeah, I don't know if it's yes men.
That's the
like
kind
that.
Of the way you describe it. Like, oh, just you gotta whatever C.J. Stroud says. It's like
I didn't say that. I said work with them. There's a
but
difference.
That is working with them.
There's a difference in
holding somebody accountable is working with them.
I think there's a difference between working with somebody and saying it with your chest. I'm not saying that he is running everything, that they're falling on their knees for CJ. I just think there's a difference. In those
whatever you say, CJ. So just whatever you say, that's what Nick Cayley over there doing.
I just
hey
think,
CJ, what you think, CJ?
I don't think, man.
This is what you know. There is a back and that's what I said a back and forth, but at least a voice that you can respect and somebody again that has answers.
I think if there's a come to Jesus meeting being had with CJ, it's from D'Amico, not Nick Cayley. All right, coming up our Saturday slate, our first full weekend of college football. You all can do it as well. We do this every Friday. We pick a game. Our game of the week. What's your game of the week? And it is a great week of games in college football. We'll do that coming up next.
I'm so excited!
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Oh, hell yeah. That is it right there. Heaven, it's back, baby.
It's that time.
It is that time, baby. Started last night. Actually, started last week.
It starts tomorrow.
Week zero, but it really does start tomorrow. There are a lot of games. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch. Saturday slate. What college football? It ain't got to be just Saturday. Over the weekend. Because it's they're taking over. College football's taking over. It started yesterday, tonight, Saturday, Sunday, Monday as well. What is your game of the week? You got to pick one college football game of the week, and this week there are a lot of them. I will be a very nice man and allow the guest to step in first. B. Scott, what is your Saturday slate game of the week?
Man, there are so many to pick from, and I know going into this, I was really leaning toward that LSU-Clemson game. But I'm going to pivot here and go with the obvious. I didn't want to go with the obvious because I felt like it was too obvious. But it's also just too obvious not to go with.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Texas-Ohio State. I might even, for this Texas-Ohio State game, I might even go to bed early just to make sure that I can sleep in and still be awake by 11 o'clock. Well before 11 o'clock to
Lee
watch
Corso
this game,
and then move right over.
Yeah, man, I might skip through Lee Corso, get through a documentary before the game starts. But absolutely going to be locked into this game. And I hate that it's got to be like the sexy topic, but it is right there, like the Arch Manning thing. I am concerned about the hype around Arch Manning. Certainly, I hope that he is as good as everybody wants him to be and says that he is. I'm a little bit nervous that maybe he's not because we just have not seen enough of it to be proclaimed the way that a lot of people are.
He is getting a lot of hype for not seeing a lot of performance on this level.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of your name and not a whole lot of your game. Now, what we've seen of him, for the most part, I think has been promising. We just haven't seen enough of it to be like, oh, that's the Heisman. It feels like a lot of that is algorithm and celebrity driven of like, you know, headline driven as opposed to, hey, this kid is actually somebody that should be up for that. Now, he is on one of the better teams, the best team in the nation, perhaps, with Texas. So I think this is the perfect test for somebody that's coming in with a lot of hype, a team overall that's coming in with a lot of hype to go up against the defending champions, Ohio State. And, of course, the history is there between the two programs. This is the game of the weekend where they come on at 11,
stupid,
5, 9, whatever time. We're going to be up watching this game.
Yeah, don't listen, Tyler. I really just, to me, for story, interest, what we do, I really hope that Arch starts off fast. Because Arch, like, this will make a story all year long if Arch Manning is anywhere close to what we or what people are believing him to be. Now, I do think he may be the fifth best quarterback in his own conference, but that is not how it is portrayed.
It's possible.
And we'll see. But if he comes out with a big game, like the interest level in college football and Texas and him grows big time. And we, like, if he gets off, we'll know what the story of the year is. Calm down, Tyler. Don't get mad. We'll know what the story, and I hope for that. Because right now, going into it, it is the number one story. All right, Tyler, what is your game of the week? Real quick, somebody text in. Texas A&M versus UTSA.
All right.
Roadrunners are screwed.
Yeah, that's, man. Of all the games, Vic, I hear you.
How about them Roadrunners and Aggies?
Miami, Notre Dame, the return of the Catholics versus the convicts.
Convicts, yeah.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
They're just nice people. What's your game of the week?
I will say, first of all seriousness, I got a lot of respect for the UTSA football program. They've done a lot of really good things the last, like, five-ish years.
Yeah.
So I hope Elko and company don't just blow this first game off for the Aggies. But anyway, my game of the week is number 9 LSU in Death Valley at number 4 Clemson. That is one of the best football atmospheres you can be at. I mean, Kyle Fields at the top, obviously.
This is such an interesting matchup for the coaches. For some reason, like, people are down on Dabo. And when you look at what he has done overall in a down year, which was last year, my man is winning the conference championship and going to the college football playoff, first ever college football playoff. But then Brian Kelly's got to stop losing these games. Like, and he's got so much talent. And I think we talk about Arch a lot. I think he may have the best quarterback, although my man in South Carolina is not bad either. But I think he may have the best quarterback in football. He's coming back. He's got a lot of talent naturally in that state. And then he's got a lot of talent that he's brought in. They've lost to USC last year. And especially what we saw USC to be as the year went on, they got no business losing that game. They lost to Florida State the year before that. This is a big one for LSU.
Yeah.
Big one for both.
Yeah,
for
I agree LSU. Too, man. Like, this game, like, I talked about Arch Manning and the whole Texas, you know, his debut in this sort of role. But this, to me, is actually the QB matchup. The LSU-Clemson game is more of a QB matchup. As you mentioned, Ron, the head coaching matchup. Also, if styles make fights, I feel like stylistically these teams are different in the standpoint of how they go about it, how they go about building their teams. Like, Dabo been reluctant to dip into the transfer portal. LSU, like, infamously goes into the transfer portal. Like, the way they go about building their teams is so different. And then, of course, like, just the history over the last decade or so, both of them being relevant programs, trying to get back to that. Like, yeah, man, I'm here for this. And both have, you know, obviously some of the more intense atmospheres to watch a game. So that Death Valley at night is going to be, I think, amazing.
Yeah, and they actually probably have two of the top quarterbacks that are actually going to be in the draft coming up.
That's what I'm saying.
Those two.
They've got the better quarterbacks, even though we're talking about Arch Manning. You know, Arch Manning gets talked about more so than these two guys. But they're probably actually the better quarterbacks, at least going into the season, until our show shows us something different.
My game is Georgia Tech at Colorado.
Mm.
Georgia Tech is on the road in Boulder, and they're a 4.5-point favorite. And to me, this is just about what is the Colorado and Deion Sanders experience look like now that two NFL players that he had at Jackson State and at Colorado are gone. What's the program look like? Because I don't care, you know, what you say. Deion Sanders for the last 2 years, Deion and Colorado, that whole thing has been the biggest story in college football. And now is that just over because Travis Hunter and Shadur are gone? Or does he continue to make Colorado an interesting thing to talk about and a face of college football? Because that's what they have been. And Georgia Tech's a good football team that's coming in. And as they say, they're 4.5-point favorite on the road, you know, against a team that won 9 games last year. He went in the transfer portal, got a lot of guys there. You would think he can recruit. We'll see. So that, to me, is one I got my eye on in Colorado.
Yeah, no, I don't love everything about the Deion Colorado experience, but the one thing I cannot, deny or argue with is the success of it. Like, it's been objectively successful. Deion appears to know what he's doing. He has, I think, set the stage for, like I think people want to go there now and go play for Deion.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool. Yeah. So I don't see a reason why he wouldn't be able to keep this up.
We'll see. He had great players. We'll see if they continue to be a big talking point or an afterthought. All right, coming up, somebody done just loaded up a lot of pressure, and it ain't Micah Parsons. We'll discuss what that means coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There really are a lot of great games this weekend. Someone said FSU, Alabama, the Noles are back. We'll see. You know, they had a really nice transfer portal offseason.
Yeah, I don't know about them being back, but that will be a game to watch, though. It will be worth watching for sure. I mean, they're not nothing. Like, that's not going to just be a rollover kind of type of game for Alabama. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, well, Alabama, for that coach, they better not just be back quite yet. They're going to lose their mind. What if Florida State, what did they go, 2-something last year? They were awful.
Yeah.
God,
awful. They've reloaded, though, from what I understand. So, I don't think they're going to be awful this year. At least from what I've been reading. Now, they might be, but from what I've been reading, they're not anticipated to be off or as awful.
There you go. 2-10, 1-7 in conference.
Yeah.
Ugh.
In that conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kayla DeBoer is not going to be able to afford to lose that game.
Y'all know what SMU is expected to be like this year with that program?
They're ranked. They're ranked. They're preseason 16.
Yeah, I was going to say they're ranked. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I think they're picked to finish third behind Miami and Clemson in the ACC. Yeah. So it'll be
still decent.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be good. He's building that up. He's been on here with us. I know Clint's got a relationship with him. All right. The big news obviously is the Micah Parsons deal that parachuted and absolutely wrecked, like he does quarterbacks, our show. And there's a lot going to it. A lot of angles to take here. But you looked at, all right, you've now become by far the highest non-quarterback, highest paid non-quarterback in football, jumping from 41 to 47. You're making big money. You're getting traded to a now what is believed a Super Bowl contender. Their odds dropped big time. Could you imagine, Tyler, if you had gotten odds on the Packers to win the Super Bowl a week and a half ago?
I wish I would have.
Oh,
damn it.
Goodness. Well, that would be. And he's going to a team that the last 2 years have been in the playoffs, that's got a young quarterback that's growing, that's got a lot of talent. They were close to being in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. But that's not who you believe the pressure is squarely on right now. It's not Micah Parsons.
Yeah, well, I think there's obviously going to be some spotlight on Micah Parsons, clearly, because he's the guy that got traded and he's going to go play his old team and all of that. But the pressure, when we're talking about pressure, I think now it shifts to Jordan Love. Like, Jordan Love, to me, is now, not only is he one of the quarterbacks under the most pressure going into this season, but he's one of the greater X factors in all of the NFL, because what version of Jordan Love, or the answer to how good is Jordan Love exactly, I think is the difference between, you know, the 9-win team that they've been
And now with adding Micah Parsons and having the kind of defense that they have, I feel like it's the difference between them like shaking the whole or shifting the whole NFC landscape. Like I don't feel like when we think about the NFC that we talk about the Packers as this special team. They're just kind of another team in the NFC, and albeit in a very deep division.
They're a team where you look at it, oh man, if Jordan Love takes it to the next level.
If Jordan Love takes it to the next step, then now we're having a different conversation. But now they've added Micah Parsons. It's like you kind of have to recalculate a little bit. Who do you even like the most in a very deep NFC, in a very deep NFC North between the Detroit Lions, this team, the Green Bay Packers, and of course the Minnesota Vikings? I think they're going to take a step back, but they're a well-built enough team overall to where they're going to be scrappy as well. And of course Chicago, I think, improved quite a bit over the offseason. So like that's a real competitive division, whereas Jordan Love might very well be the best quarterback in it. And now they've added more ammunition and more talent to the team with Micah Parsons, with the additions of Micah Parsons to an already pretty good defense. So I'm intrigued on what that looks like. If Jordan Love takes that next step, the Green Bay Packers are changing the conversation in the NFC.
Hold on. Are you saying that you are now viewing – because let me get this. What – before the 3 o'clock hour yesterday, how would you say your view was – and expectations were about Jordan Love?
I just thought he was a fine player, but it was almost out of sight, out of mind. He's in a crowded NFC North, but now with the spotlight of Micah Parsons.
You know he's a fine player, and now all of that has changed.
No.
You're viewing him different.
What I'm saying is he is a fine player, but now there's more of a spotlight, and I think more pressure on him proving that he's more than just a fine player. Like, he's similarly situated to C.J. Stroud in this way to me, where we already know they're good. I don't think we're, like, questioning, hey, is this guy good? We know they're good. But how good? Are they great? How consistently great? And I think because of this Micah Parsons trade, for one, makes them better, but also adds a spotlight to the team to where I think there is more pressure and more attention to, okay, how good is this guy really? I think we've established the good part, but is he great? Is he consistently great? Is he the difference between them going again from 9 wins to completely changing the conversation in the NFC? I wasn't too concerned about Green Bay and the overall NFC conversation 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Now they are very much front of mind. They're right there to me in the conversation with the Lions, obviously the Super Bowl defending champion, Philadelphia Eagles. Like, they're right there in that conversation of most interesting and threatening teams in the NFC, teams that could actually win the Super Bowl. A lot of people don't think Micah Parsons is that good, so they think I'm crazy, but
I have not thought through, does this now impact how I view Jordan Love? Does this move? I get where you're saying there's pressure, but does this impact how I view Jordan Love? Like, I'm trying to think. If they don't get to...
What I'm saying is that he matters more. Like, I think we view him how we view him, but I think what he is exactly matters a lot more because of the opportunity that's in front of them and the attention that they're about to face.
I'm just saying, for me, like, when Lamar got Derrick Henry, and then, you know, they went and drafted Zay Flowers, and you saw that he was starting to develop. They went and got Odell, right? Now we know what Odell is, but they went and got firepower and actual receivers. I looked at Lamar and thought, all right, well, the excuses are now, you know, now damn near out. Like, you got firepower. You've got a team around you where you should. I don't know that I'm looking at Jordan like that. Now that they've added him, not yet. Now that they added him, if they don't get to a Super Bowl. Now, unless he just goes and folds. But if they don't get to a Super Bowl, like, I'm not looking at him like, I don't know, boy. Now, like I said, I thought that's been unfair with Brock Purdy. Because I still feel like he's in that range.
Yeah.
For me. I think he has more talent and can grow and get better. But I feel like I'm not looking, when I look at the Packers and just saying, all right, Jordan, like, you got everything around you that you should perform to this certain level. Not the way that I looked at, like, Lamar.
Yeah, we might look at pressure a little bit differently. To me, I'm just talking about, like, because I actually believe in Jordan Love. I think he's a really good player. So it's not so much as me like, hey, you got to do it. It's just more so of, hey, I'm watching a lot more. Like, I'm going to watch more Packers games. I'm going to pay more attention to Packers games. And so, like, what Jordan Love is doing is just going to be – it's just going to stand out a lot more because they have upped the ante a little bit and have made their team better. So I think it's actually very similar to the things that you described here, like with Lamar Jackson. I think it's a similar thing. Now, he's not as far along in
the – I look at it as an opportunity for him.
He's not as far along in the Lamar Jackson conversation of, like, hey, you know, MVP and all of that kind of stuff and, like, being held accountable in that way. But, like, adding a Micah Parsons is kind of in a similar vein in bettering your team as, like, adding, say, Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I think it's a similar kind of thing. So, yeah, no, I think that they are under a much bigger spotlight, and heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Listen, I think the expectations for the team is higher. I don't know. Now, if he comes the hell out, but again, I don't think Jordan – see, I think maybe this is where – I don't think Jordan Love has to, as they would say, drive the bus. I think Lamar's got to drive the bus, and now it is like, yo, now you got everything you need in this bus, right? I don't think Jalen Hurts has to drive the bus. I don't have the expectation that Brock drives the bus, and right now I think Jordan Love is still in that. I think he has the expectations not to F up the bus,
yeah,
not to wreck it.
Yeah, man, I think I still go back to last season. Y'all remember last season when they were about to – the Texans were about to play the Packers.
You know a secret? I don't think CJ necessarily has to drive the bus here either. But go ahead. Well, I snuck that in at the end. But not with this team.
I don't think that's what they're going to ask him to do, because I know all of this talk about checkdowns and pre-snap and all of that. But I think the design of the offense is so that he doesn't. But, like, I think back to last year when the Texans were about to play the Packers, and D'Amico Ryan said, real matter of fact, but in passing, that Jordan Love was the best quarterback that they will have faced so far that year. And they had already played the guy that was about to win the MVP in Josh Allen. Now, they took him behind the woodshed and didn't make him look like anything like an MVP. But they did play against Josh Allen, and here he was saying that Jordan Love was the best quarterback that they had faced all year, or will have faced all year up until that point. And I'm like, huh, has he done enough to warrant that kind of praise from an actual defensive, one of the better defensive minds in all of football, and D'Amico Ryans? I don't feel like he said that lightly. So, like, I'm waiting to see, like, is he actually that?
He's got great talent. He's got great talent.
Like, right. when you say opportunity – yeah, I think we're looking at opportunity. Maybe pressure is the wrong word, but to me, the opportunity is the pressure. The opportunity being right there, and the fact that we're going to be watching this, that is where the pressure that I'm speaking of comes from. We will be watching the Packers this year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I guess just the expectation is a little different. All right, coming up, a little bit of Dirty's Daily. And listen, there's a lot of things that people can say about Texans fans. But if you're a Texans fan, ain't no reason for you to stand down about what we're going to talk about next. You should talk all the hot garbage that you want to talk if anybody disputes this. We'll talk about that coming up next.
God bless, brother.